On the Hub on Stage, you're listening to music from Azerbaijan, music to fall in love by. Oh, that's the music of agitation and love. Layla and Kais have fallen in love, but Layla's parents disapprove, and Kais's poetic declarations of love are becoming so extreme that some people have started to call him Majnun, which means possessed. And of course, it all ends in tragedy. It's a Romeo and Juliet story based on the experiences of a 7th century Bedouin poet. And it's a story that artists have been telling through literature, dance and music ever since. A new dance production called Layla and Majnun is the work of the massively influential American choreographer Mark Morris, who joins us here today. G'day, Mark.
Hello.
Nice to have you here. So you were born in 1956, which is a very, very good year.
Why?
Because you and I are born in
1946. Oh, okay. I thought there was a secret connection
Well, that's secret. That's a bond between us.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations to you too. It's also the year that television came to Australia.
Uh-huh.
Mm, yeah. So you've built a career over these very few years making contemporary dance work that everyone always says appeals both to the dance cognoscenti and to the popular audience. When did you first hear about this story?
This story, Layla and Majnun, I was asked to go to a workshop at Harvard by Yo-Yo Ma, the cellist.
Famous cellist.
Yeah, famous cellist Yo-Yo Ma. And the Silk Road Ensemble, he was working with this amazing, incredible virtuoso of Azerbaijani classical music, Alim Kasimov, and his daughter, Fergana Kasimova. And they were the two singers who sing this opera, which dates from the early 20th century, and in its full form, it's a big, 2.5 hour piece with orchestra and lots of singers, and it's very unknown, pretty much unknown to Western audiences. So the short version is they were putting on a chamber version of this with just the two singers, two instrumentalists from Azerbaijan, and a group of basically Western instrumentalists from the Silk Road Ensemble with some other instruments mixed in. And I was asked to come and watch this and listen to it with the idea, perhaps, of turning it into a stage production. And as the story goes, Yo-Yo and the other musicians said, after I'd seen the show, "What do you think? You're the perfect person to put this into a stage production." And I said, "Yes, you're right, but I'm not going to." Which sounds terrible, except
it sounds terrible.
It sounds horrible. It's like, well, thanks for breakfast, but I have to go. and the show was great, but I didn't think that it was engaging enough. It's gorgeous, beautiful music, and you know they're going to die, but I wanted the chance that they might not. So the music was reworked a little bit. Johnny Gandelsman, who arranged the music with Alim. So they worked on it for a year or so, and I kept coming back to it. Yo-Yo kept asking me when I was going to do it, and I was like, you know, I warmed up to it. It took almost 10 years and a couple of versions of the music. And then I decided, you know what, I'm going to take this on and turn it into a danced opera. So that's what we did.
So
I worked on it for a couple
Ma,
of years. Yeah, Yo-Yo.
Yo-Yo Ma is harassing you for 10 years to do this. Gosh, that's a persistent campaign. Can I just summarize what you've said? We've got this poem, which dates back to the 7th century.
Yes.
It's been told in zillions of versions.
Right.
I guess everyone in the region knows this, do they?
Yeah, everybody. Yes, everybody does.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got an opera that was written more recently during the grand period of opera. The first Muslim opera.
Correct.
I think that might be right. Yeah. And then you've reworked that to do this dance piece.
Right.
Right.
Well, it was the poetry was sort of collected by this Persian language poet Nizami, and then later on, many years later, an Azerbaijani poet named Fuzuli did the version that we do. So it's sung in Azerbaijani. The composer was named Haji Beyli, and so the opera, which is done every year in Baku. And you can see it on YouTube in its full length, and it's kind of great. I've watched it a lot. So this is basically an hour version, a condensed, essentialized version with music and dance of this opera.
I've heard about this. This is the opera that the Azerbaijan State Opera do every year.
That's right, yes.
It's this one.
Yes, it's exactly this one.
Okay. Maybe we should hear a little bit.
Oh.
Glorious music, isn't it? It feels so life-affirming. I feel as though I'm in the middle of a great surge of culture and joy and, I guess, of blame and scheming and so on. Mm-hmm. So I've seen some video of this. You've got the musician mm-hmm. sitting in the middle of the stage and that your dancers are on a platform behind and around and in front. So it's mm-hmm. a very integrated idea you've got.
Well, the piece is about, you know, this couple who end up never even consummating their relationship. At least Romeo and Juliet got to do that, they say. But these people end up, they're separated, they end up dying, and they go, I guess, for eternal peace and rest and their souls being together, however you want to look at that. But it's a community. The two families are trying to prevent the two lovers from being together. And so it's all done. It's not in a village, but everyone is on stage the whole time.
It did feel to me, the little bit that I saw, as though yeah. I was in the village square or something. It's like being present at storytelling.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, I feature the singers because the music is so so wonderful, unusual to Western ears, unfortunately. But, you know, it's eight instrumentalists plus the two from Azerbaijan, the two singers, and then a dozen of my dancers at any time. So it's the stage is always completely populated and everyone is involved and listening and working very closely together.
And the colors are really vibrant.
Yes.
Yeah.
From the great late British painter Howard Hodgkin, who was a wonderful, wonderful
painter. So you've
got this
big colored backdrop, which he's painted, a big abstracty thing, and
right.
then these lovely vibrant costumes.
Yeah.
So you premiered this in 2016, which is the year Donald Trump was elected, when the whole Islamic thing was very sensitive in the States. Did that give a dimension to telling an Azerbaijani story? Did it take on a kind of edge because of the sensitivity or the currency of that issue?
Well, let's see. It's in no way a political corrective, but I was noticing over time that what people accurately or not refer to as Islamophobia, which is not Trump has never heard of Islam, so you don't have to worry about that. He had nothing to do with it. But there's a tone in the U.S. which is unwelcoming. And so, you know, I love this music so much. And, you know, it's like you can't resist it. If you don't want to hear it, you want to cover your ears because it's by a culture that you're scared of or something. Mm. Grow up. This music is loved and known by millions of people, just not a lot of Western audiences. So it was a little bit on my mind to open it up and make it kinder and friendlier and more a little bit more love that is involved generally.
I love listening to this sort of music because on the one hand, it's familiar. You know, it has a sort of starting point. It journeys away from and comes back to. But when it goes on its journey, I sit there thinking, gee, I don't understand what time this is in. I can't quite work out what key it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing stuff I don't know how to do. The rhythms
right.
are so complex. I know, even if someone asked me to join in, I don't know that I could. So it is, although it's a familiar kind of journey, it's taken in a mode that it comes from some other part of the human story.
Right. Well, you know, it's a form of singing called Mogam, and there's versions of that all over Central Asia, and in fact, all over Southeast Asia. It reminded me when I first heard this singing of Qawwali music from Pakistan and of deep song, flamenco, Cantejondo from Andalusia. So it's all, you know, Muslim, Sufi, and it's what people would call linear as opposed to, you know, stacked up. It's not in chords, it's in lines. So there's long stretches that are improvisatory, microtonal, and super, super passionate and ecstatic. And that's what we're working with. It's a very heavy and beautiful, exquisite piece of music.
So when you're sitting there listening to the music and mm-hmm. you're thinking, okay, dance has to flow out of this, are you in your mind already seeing the kind of dance moves that you'll be crafting? Or do you just feel the potential for dance and then the exploration begins and you build it bit by bit?
Well, you know, like I said, I was listening to it off and on for about 10 years. So, and, you know, in that course of that, I didn't want to do what I call an airport gift shop version of world music. I wanted to actually know how this went, because I've seen a lot of East meets West where it turns out to be the worst of both possible worlds. But the composer, Haji Bailey, had already combined the Western influence of Russian, but specifically European opera, and this classical and folk form called Mugam. So it's quite improvised. I didn't know what to do with it, which is why I resisted for a long time. And so I don't see a dance in my head. I wish I did. It would save a lot of time and per diem. But so I did a lot of research on dance and music and culture of the area. And other than that, it's sort of my imagination.
Right.
But I don't have a dance. I don't have a thing in mind. I know that I want to do it, and I study the story in a lot of different sources. So what you see is the result of a lot of different kinds of detail work. And, you know, there are quotes from Azerbaijani dance and culture within it, certainly.
Now, when you started out, the idea that you would take influences from everywhere and combine them into a new whole
mm-hmm.
was an exciting possibility in the world of the arts. In more recent times, we've had a lot of sensitivity about what's called appropriation, taking mm-hmm. other people's art, especially if you're from the West,
right.
and appropriating the way you've described.
Right.
How do you think through that issue?
Well, I very strongly believe that there's no other kind of culture besides cultural appropriation. That's it. Nothing was sui generis. You know, not a single person didn't come up with fire, you know, or the wheel, although it took 100,000 years to put the wheel on a suitcase. I noticed that. But the idea that this belongs to us and you can't touch it is a kind of separatism and tribalism that I reject entirely. So I think it's a big, big world. And so that's the thing, East meets West, you know, the folk music versus classical music, world music. I just think it's music and dance.
And we're all on the planet together.
Yeah, yes. Not always comfortably, but that's part of the assignment.
Yeah. And what about tragedies? You seem to be drawn to tragedies.
Right?
You
know,
you've done Dido and Aeneas. You've done Romeo and Juliet by Prokofiev. Is it sad stories, tragic
make,
stories?
Sad stories make me – I'm only happy when I'm miserable.
Your face lights up.
That's right. Exactly. I don't know. I think it's – I would say that just about all my work is in some way about love without it being a Valentine. But, you know, I'm an impatient, in case you haven't noticed that, I'm an impatient and sort of, I pay a lot of attention to things. I'm very alert and I'm interested in a lot of things. So for me, even though I'm, you know, I have a tyrannical streak in rehearsal, of course, because I'm putting this all together, the dancers and the musicians are fabulous and they end up doing the show. So it's all about relationships between people, and not necessarily a happy ending, but one that you earn from love for one another.
Mark Morris, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Mark Morris is a director, the choreographer of Leyla and Majnun, and it's based on the Azerbaijani poem and opera. And you can see it from the 10th to the 13th of October in the very grand State Theatre at Arts Centre Melbourne. It's part of the Melbourne Festival. You'll find details on our website. I'm Michael Cathcart. This is The Hub on Stage.